New Media, The Final Frontier. These are the broadcasts of The Tomorrow Show. Its mission? To befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro.
Look what they've done to my song, Ma. Look what they've done.
Greetings, people of tomorrow. Captain Kevin Undergaro back in the captain's chair.
Well, it's the only thing I could do.
You know, I never thought I'd be opening the show with Miley Cyrus. But you know what? Very poignant and meaningful song. Roxy Stryer at the Tomorrow Show Bar.
Hi, Kev.
Thank you for sitting in. Another marginal effort.
God, we missed you. We need that non-millennial presence so bad.
Stop it.
Like, we're just all sitting here as millennial morons. Being like, yeah, that's right.
No,
yeah.
It was very revealing. Like hearing about prom. Listen to this song, you guys. Tell me if you know what this means. Christy reports.
All I heard was chicken bone.
So, it went from look what they've done to my song to look what they've done to my brain. Sean Waltman, have you heard this song before? Remember from the 70s? It was late 60s, Melanie. It was originally done.
No.
Now, Michael
and that's her rendition is just way different.
Very similar.
Topic.
Very similar, but I feel like... So it's like, look what they've done to my song. Yeah. So I think it was... Melanie was a very folksy singer. I wish Laura Negras were here. She'd understand this even better. And I think it was how probably the producers at the time really came in and kind of tore her apart, her music. And she says, look what they've done. Mom, look what they've done to my song. Look what... You know, but then it gets deeper. Like what they've done to me, what they've done to my image, what they've done to my brain, right? And Miley takes it first, says, look, done to my brain. And then she says, soul, later.
But maybe I'll be all right.
So a little ray of hope. Maybe she'll be okay. But I feel if you hear the original version and this, I feel like Miley, because she's probably dealt with more in this super toxic, you know, hyper world that we live in. So I really feel she owned it even more. Michael calls from the booth. I'm sure none of this is resonating with you, but still good to have you here.
You know, life is all roses, Kev. So
well,
this
when
is
you're
just...
tall and handsome and chiseled out of stone, and Christian and a virgin, what do you need this
Yeah,
song
the last
for?
Two really make it easy in today's world. Yeah. Real easy.
Oh, I left out white. Bonjour, Juliette. Comment ça va?
Ça va très bien.
Juliette, you haven't heard this song.
Actually, I have.
Really? Yeah. Have you heard the Miley version or the original?
The Miley version. I'm a millennial. Come on.
Yeah, but that's great. No one else has heard that. This is her little backyard thing.
Yeah, she did a whole series when she after like being done with the whole Disney Channel rem and not knowing where to go. So
look
she just
what they've done to my soul. That's how she ended it.
Yeah, so she did a bunch of these like covers.
I watched the backyard ones mostly. This was one of part of that series.
Yes,
those were beautiful.
I'll see you in the right? Isn't that a great song?
Yeah,
and she nails it. It's funny, like Maria now just can't get out of her head. She's singing it over and over again because I think it means a lot to her too. You guys, it's wonderful to be back. I was on a little bit of an adventure. I'd like to share some of my
explorations.
Yes, thank you. Some of my explorations. I would say my exploits, but I don't think I exploited much.
We never know if we can say where you are or what you're doing. Where in the world is Kevin Undergaro?
Back east. And you can always say, it's nothing to hide from. But some stuff, hopefully, that you guys will relate to, resonate. We went to New York. Maria had she does work with this company called Rally, something it involves healthcare. She's really close with the owners, and she likes what they stand for. She's partnered with Kevin Hart on it. So I knew it was going to be her, Kevin Hart, and somewhere in New York to a big crowd. And, you know, I was tagging along because I had stuff to do in Connecticut. And so the great Sam Roberts showed up too, which was awesome. So Sam came across town. And, you know, more and more, it's like, I feel like with Sam, he's like, if Maria's on the left, he's on the right of me. Like, they're very similar people. So I was like, it's like, so I feel like when I don't have Maria, I have Sam. Anyway, but Kevin Hart was there, and you know, I've been looking at our business, and Sean, you relate to this, and I think there's like five guys in our business I'm really admiring, and I'm seeing the work that they're doing, and those are the five people at least I'd like to work with in some capacity, and Kevin's one of them. And so I was like, F this. I'm going to go up and corner him. So we've met before. And
I love that.
He knew me from Howard. Like, you know, he knows me from Maria, obviously. And I just was like, you know, I think I said that to him. I think there's five people I'm targeting. You're one of them. I said, but unlike some of the other people, you're out on the road doing stand-up. So it's really hard for you to manage all of your stuff. But I said, I know you want to do everything. That's why I'm following you. That's why I admire you. And, you know, I said, you know, Maria, you know what she's been through. And I said, and for her, she's kind of come out of this tumor. And she's like, nah, I don't really know much more I want to do. If I do anything, I want to do something that's fun or purposeful or has an impact. And if it's not those things, I don't care about the money. I don't care. I'm out. I don't really care. And, you know, I'm like, but me, I still want to go. I still want to do like a lot in the business. I said, and he's like, so do I. And he's like, and you're right. It's hard. I'm on the road all the time. And whereas The Rock, you know, he doesn't have a stand-up comedy, you know, tour that he's doing. You know, he's on a set of a movie, but then there's a lot of downtime. You're in your trailer and you're on your laptop and you're able to really run a production company a lot better. So it's harder for him. It's harder for LeBron James too, because he's got to go out and win basketball games. Even though he's building a pretty nice company, it's tough. But for, you know, so anyway, so I said, listen, I have a couple of projects, and I gave him like the one-line pitches on three different things. And he was like, I love them all. You have my attention. And he's like, we need to get together. He's like, so I'm away next week or the week after, but we got to get back together. But anyway, listen, I don't know what will come of it, but it just, again, with you guys, like, you can approach these people, but just notice my approach. I didn't go asking for anything. I came offering. You know, I said, I have all these great projects. I have all these great things. And I said, and, you know, someone like you to own them, you know, and someone like me who could do the grunt work behind the scenes to get these things over the goal line, you know. And then when I pitched the projects, they obviously had to be compelling to him.
Right.
But did you pitch him anything?
I did. I pitched him three different things. I was like, really quick. And again, that's the other thing too. You got to be concise. You got to be. And I've not always been able to do this. I mean, you've not seen me on the show when I've been sick or tired, or, you know, I have this thyroid issue right now. I'll ramble or I'll go off. But, you know, so I've done that in pitches before too. But then, you know, a good pitch, you got to be really crisp, concise, fast, in and out.
One line, elevator pitch kind of thing?
Yeah, one or two lines. It's very important. Yeah.
That's hard for people to do, though, because it involves editing yourself.
But you got to do that, though. I think, but you can do that, because the key is editing yourself. You do that in your pregame. You do that beforehand.
Kevin, do you think you should almost write it down and memorize it?
Yeah, if it helps.
Huh. Mm-hmm. And then just anytime somebody asks you, you give it to them and you say, if you want any more...
Yeah, then there's more materials and all that stuff.
Don't you worry about it coming out fucking contrived sounding, like, you know, if you have it like too memorized. You know how it comes out for most people when,
like,
they do that.
But I'd rather you be like that than be a mess and all over the board.
Gotcha. Than just all over the map. Yeah.
I know when someone comes at me, I am gifted with a sixth sense to hear what someone's trying to say. I can get through it all and see in them what they're trying to say, and sometimes what they don't even see in themselves. But other people don't have, most 99% of people don't have that. You got to knock them over the head. You also have to, you know, lean forward, and you have to be confident. But the biggest thing is you have to be willing to offer too. You have to have humility, you know, and I think that's the problem, is if someone comes up, doesn't go up in that regard, you know, they don't go up in that capacity where you're offering something. So anyway, it was good. We'll see what happens. We went back after that. We had a 6-hour ride to Connecticut, a 3-hour ride because of traffic. And you know what I love about New York is everyone from New York comes out here like, oh, the LA traffic. I can't believe it. I'm like, every time I'm in New York, it's way worse. I mean, because
there are ways to avoid it. Like, you can hop on the train here.
You know what's great about the train rocks? It's not really crowded or sweaty or gross at all.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's real easy.
There are no rats. No,
perfect. Jump on the train. It's so convenient. But anyway, so we go through 6 hours of traffic, come home, and our beautiful 60-acre property there has been taken by hoarders, I feel.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, 20 years ago when Marie and I met, I'll never forget, all I would see in their house is piles and piles and piles of laundry. Because the poor mother worked a full-time job, like 50 hours a week. Then, nights and weekends, worked with the dad, cleaning nightclubs and fixing apartments and doing all the grunt work, too. And then cooked gourmet meals for the whole family and the father for his type 1 diabetic condition. And, you know, the last thing left was to do all that. And you're dealing with a house, Maria and the brother and the father being the type of people that just drop their clothes in the middle of the room, leave dishes in the sink, you know. And, you know, you wonder why poor Lisa ended up getting sick. And I had changed that over the years because, you know, with the house, I'm like, no, we don't do things like that anymore. And but now, you know, her brother living there, and he hasn't been around us for 20 years. So he is the way he is. And then Lita's sick and can't do anything. And she's now, you know, part of the problem. So it just, I couldn't even believe what I saw. I'm like, guys, this. And so Maria, God love her, worked, you know, in her condition, which is hard. And she's also not the best organizer, but man, she nailed it. She redid, I mean, like there must have been like 12 to 15 trash bags, heavy trash bags that we pulled out of that house of old clothes and just things. And we took the house back, but I'll tell you.
Do you have any pictures?
You know what? I think I have a picture of we have a library that we call there. It's really big, big room and all these books and little Beethoven. Their dog is looking up from the balcony at me like, thanks for cleaning. But you know, the lesson of it is, you know, here's Lita who's, you know, her brain's been cut open, chemoed, radiated. She wears this Optune device. Plus, she takes these supplements that make her a little loopy. So, you know, but once we cleaned and organized everything, she's like, I feel 100 pounds lighter. The next day she got up. And I think she made breakfast. She organized everything. She and I said, guys, you were setting her up to fail by having this messy, sloppy environment. And I see this every day. You guys hear me harp on the show for all of us. You know, you're so decreasing your chances of success by living a sloppy lifestyle and hanging on to clutter.
I have that problem, Kev. I don't know if anyone's told you.
Yes, Joe Gear ratted on you this weekend to me, as a matter of fact.
But the hoarder problem?
Sort of. I mean, it's in a way. Yeah,
but you've been working on it, Ron.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
But so I can totally relate to that, and how much more you can get done just by it's almost like, Kev, I feel paralyzed by it. It's like there's so much. It's like what the fuck do we even? Where do we even start? You know, and it's really not that big a deal. Really.
What's not a big deal?
To maintain it.
It's like getting all worked up over it, and I know what's going on, but it's still there. You know what I mean? I can't.
Well, you know what? Maybe, Sean, if we put everything in its right place.
Oh,
right?
Shit. I shouldn't have brought this up to you because now you're going to want to fix it.
No,
he helped me with mine, and it's really been
helpful. Yeah, but you got your own shit going on.
Yeah, but there's plenty of people around now that have been raised that know better now around me. The staff at AfterBuzz all know. But I'm just saying, like, once it gets, I understand people don't have, there's a whole other technique to organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. That's why there's professional organizers and closet cleaners, like, because certain people don't have that ability. But once you get that done and you just put things back. I know you're laughing, but it's true.
Then it makes it easier for you. Just put
things back and it makes sure, you know, so you could see then the next day they had the Greek pig roast and the parents were so happy. They were, the father showing the house off to everybody.
That's cool.
He's doing his Greek dancing and then, you know, they've had a really rough 2 years. And I'm like, you know, like that's all it's going to take. You know, like, let's get back to it.
This is kind of a weird question, Kevin, but when as the significant other, because obviously now you guys have been together for decades and you're married, so of course you can step in. But when you said when you first started going there, there'd be piles of laundry. When is it appropriate as the significant other going into a household to try to fix things?
Well, when you become, first of all, part of the family. And then when you know, what's going to happen with you guys and your parents, if you truly all grow up, which I think everyone here will, you're going to become the parents to your parents. And that's what I see a lot of, Gen X and millennials resist because they still want to be the babies forever and have mommy and daddy do everything for them. And I see that a lot. And that's not the right way to be because they're not always going to be there. At some point, you have to pull your own weight. But the traditional thing is, you know, it usually starts in your mid-20s. Like right now, you guys start to parent your parents slowly but surely. And so I was older. So, you know, I had more years, Maria, and therefore more wisdom.
But did you ever go in and you were like, okay, we need to do this with cleaning this?
When they sold that house and went to Connecticut, then we got them the house.
So is that a boundary issue question?
Yeah, kind of. Like if you notice, if you've been dating somebody
for a little bit. If they're hurting, you can tell.
Yeah. And you can step in.
I would, you know, with you, Roxy, and like your dad, you have this gorgeous, huge house. But I would step in with your dad at some point because he doesn't want to be unhappy. He doesn't want to be – do you know what I mean? There's certain people who
yeah. –
but there are people who really are OCD. We talked about this earlier today, Sean, who are not OCD for cleaning, OCD for hoarding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you can't go – you know, my mother, I would never be able to – my mother's a very neat person, but she hoards. She has a lot of stuff. And I just say, Mom, anytime you want, I'm happy to come in there and we can get rid – No,
so it's all neatly like stacked.
It's very neatly stacked, but it's way too much stuff. Yes, yeah. Way too much stuff.
I'd say it's a hard position.
My granny was like that. Sorry.
That's okay. It's a hard position for anybody to be in, to go into somebody else's home and be like, here's what we need to do.
Have to be ready. Like when you're – listen, there's people who are either so depressed or lost or broken, and now they've just given up because it got ahead of them. Like, that's what happened there, the house. We had this big, giant, beautiful house, every room just with tons of stuff. And now you just quit. So you start running away from it, and you just keep adding to the hoarding, and you just try to keep your mind in front of it. But I said, guys, this is why you're all a little bit sad. You're all a little bit depressed. You're blaming all these other factors, but this is it. I mean, it's proven. Watch. And as soon as we did it, it was like, whoa, like, you know, the clouds parted. So you have to get people when – they're ready, you know. And sometimes I said people, they don't know how to fix it. Or then they, even the, to be able to fix it, so insurmountable. You know, it's such a big pyramid for them to climb. Mm. We did get over to the crack house that I was renovating. And I don't know if you guys remember, like I went
home. Is Dave still there?
Dave is getting out of jail, I'm told, next week.
Hey.
So for any of our new audience.
Dave was a crackhead, my pet crackhead, who was one of the crackheads who wrecked the house. But then in tomorrow show fashion, then I hired him to fix the house.
His cocaine tolerance has gone down quite a bit since he's been in jail. So it's not going to take much
get him back up.
No. Well, also, just to give everybody a little bit of an idea of the kind of person Dave is, Dave broke his hand in a very precarious way. And instead of rehabbing it, he chopped off his own fingers because he did not want to go to
6 months of rehab.
And what was the deal about him liking it? Well, I don't know. He didn't like it, but he did it anyways, right? Honked on somebody's bobo?
Oh, all the time for free. No,
crack.
For crack,
yes.
Anytime he needed crack,
he didn't like it. That is true.
Right.
He didn't love
it. And it's kind of hard to do without your fingers now. So that's a tough crack.
But also,
how is this the first time hearing about this guy?
Christy, he was good at it because he didn't have teeth.
Yeah.
So he gave good head.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's a lesson to everybody at home, kids.
All right. Is that what he's planning on doing when he gets out of jail?
Hey, those guys, it's just one. There's never a plan, Christy. It's beautiful. There's never a plan.
There might be if he's wanting to find his drug. He might have a pretty plan. Good idea of exactly what he's going
to
do.
Yeah, what he needs to do to get it.
To get high.
Well, so anyway, you're at the crack house.
Listen, we'll have an update because in another few weeks, because I went, you know, I had said to Maria, if you just would have, she had just given me 3 more weeks, I would have finished this entire house. But once she took me out of the equation, that was it. So it's still not done. The finish line keeps getting moved. There's a whole plan of attack when you do a house and it's not being done. So, but anyway, it was interesting to work with a couple of the workers there that I let in to do some electrical work. You know, and I've become really good friends with these guys. We have fun. But, you know, just how other people think. I mean, these guys – somehow the Illuminati came up, and I always you know, I joke when I say Maria's Illuminati. You know, our neighbors, that they're part of her Illuminati. And
I've been accused of it.
Yeah, right. That you've been in, Sean?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
NWO? Come on. Are you kidding me?
Do people think, yeah, I know the NWO is its own group, but do people think...
The New World Order came from, like, all that Illuminati stuff.
Okay,
like,
but
originally.
So were you considered a wrestling Illuminati, or did they say, no, 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 the Illuminati wanted to take over wrestling?
No, I think we're, like, connected way higher.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, it would make sense.
I think we might be,
By the way, no, it would make sense if there's an Illuminati and you wanted to take over wrestling. Yeah. You know you can't buy Vince, so you get the NWO. Sean's Illuminati.
Of course.
Oh, my God. We have to make sure like that gets out there.
Oh, everybody already knows.
That you're Illuminati?
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, these guys, you know, and these guys, you know, they're it's Connecticut's red state, so they're guns, pistols. They're so equipped. If they're not carrying, it's like in the truck or whatever. And so they start talking Illuminati, and one of them just keeps kind of eye fucking me, like, maybe we should kind of keep it down because he's one of them. And I usually always tell him, like, no, I'm not in. But, yeah, I tell you right now, my wife, yeah, she's with them. I said, I'm not privy to it. I sold out Maria. Yeah. But to hear these guys' theories, they're like, well, the Illuminati killed Paul Rudd. Did you guys ever hear this one?
What does that even mean?
No.
Apparently, Mike, can you look it up? How, if there's any correlation between the Illuminati killing Paul Rudd, but that was no accident. And then it was like, oh yeah, and Tupac was singing about this shit 30 years ago, and everyone thinks it was Suge killed him. It's like Illuminati. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, but how could Paul Rudd?
I don't know. I was starting to get nervous. These people
Paul
carry
Rudd was
guns.
Getting a little too close to finding out the secrets.
But I'm confused.
Do we have anything?
Mainly because Paul Rudd isn't dead?
Right.
Oh, that he set out to quit? Is that what it is? That the father?
You don't mean Paul Walker. You mean Paul Rudd?
No, Paul Walker. I am so sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you now.
Sorry, God.
I was like, wow. So are they saying like it's a clone? Or?
Oh, my God. There you go. There's my hypo. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It made for a good story. Let's spread that rumor.
I thought that was about the child sex ring and all that shit.
What are you talking about?
I thought that's what he was digging into.
Who was digging into?
What do we got,
Paul
Mike?
Walker.
Oh.
Mike, what do we have?
So it says Paul Walker and Roger Rodas, who I'm assuming was the other person who was in the Porsche with him, were killed, quote, shortly after they discovered a conspiracy to supply victims of Typhon Haiyan with a prototype permanent birth control drug hidden in medicinal supplies and food aid.
Oh, some eugenics shit.
So we had to kill them. Wow.
Turns out they were betrayed and someone rigged the car's brakes.
Population control stuff, Kev. We shouldn't be talking about this.
And okay, done. Move on to the next one. And then I started.
Did the lights just flicker?
No, but by the way, I started throwing out other names and everyone, they like Robin Williams, like, yep.
That the Illuminati got him, or that he was?
Yep. How far back does it go?
Like I said, I started getting nervous because one of the guys, he didn't see the humor in me being Illuminati adjacent.
See,
you know?
See, the Rothschilds. Did they mention the Rothschilds? They're one of the original Illuminati families, and one of the Rothschilds was like in one of the execs at WWE, like in the late 90s. Jim Rothschild, yeah.
I mean, listen, as far as the Illuminati the public believes exists, I don't think exists. As far as there being a bunch of billionaires in the 1% that control a lot of things on, that I would say, yeah.
Well, there is that Bilderberg group, Kev.
What is that? I don't want to die.
Mm, yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know. But the more I drop Illuminati to civilians, we were at an Apple store, I think, and I dropped it, and the guy working there was another one, totally connected and to the fact that there is Illuminati.
So,
and
so the Bilderberg Group is this thing that meets every year somewhere, and it was a total secret up until not that long ago. And it's all these world leaders and everyone. They gather, and they pretty much decide, like, policy for the entire world. I mean, I know that does sound really crazy, but it really happens.
The Bilderberg Group.
Yes.
So it's 120 to 150 people of the European North American political elite. It was established in 1954.
Oh, wow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And so when I was in Amsterdam, I had my New World Order shirt on, and I went up to their Bilderberg Hotel, and I took a picture next to the Bilderberg sign, just to fuel the fire. Yeah.
Interesting, Sean. Interesting. We went to Game 7 after the Greek pig roast, which, by the way, so great to work with, to have those parties with the Greeks. Like, my civilian family would all be sitting there, and I'd be setting this up. You know, we have this
The name day thing, right?
The name day scam. We have this, like, 1,000-foot... We have this huge, huge dance hall gazebo in the backyard there. And, you know, everyone's stressing, you know, the father and Maria's brother and Maria. And I'm like, guys, I can't believe you're Greeks and you still don't even understand the scam of your culture. Watch this. Just 50 minutes. As soon as the first guests arrive, boom. Everybody separates. The women in the kitchen slicing, dicing, plating things up. The guys are like roasting the lamb. And I'm like, put your feet up, have a cocktail. This is so great. That's a great thing about that culture. You know, but then we went to the Game 7.
Just with some casual people.
What's that?
Just some casual friends of yours.
No names, yeah.
Game. Oh, wait. Oh, we're at Game. Okay, people, so moving on to Game 7.
Never seen before. Not big Boston people
at all.
So
you pulled up a picture of myself, Wick Grousback, who owns the Celtics, his wife or his partner, and then, and of course, the great Robert Kraft. Unbelievable conversations
Robert
with these
Kraft,
guys.
Owner of the Patriots.
Owner of the Patriots.
Casual.
It's funny. So I said to Mr. Kraft, we started talking. I said, would you ever be open? I said, I wonder if you guys would ever teach something about what you've done with that brand. I said, because
when you say you guys, are you talking about him and Belichick?
No, I mean, you guys, you, your sons, the organization. I said, because there's so many like unbelievable lessons to be taught about business and branding. I said, it goes far beyond football. And I said, even the fact that you got rid of the logo. Your first move is to bring in a new logo, new colors, everything. And I said, to me, no one talks about that, but I always took it as that's a losing organization, and we're now going to be a winning one. Because the Patriots were, next to the Clippers, there probably wasn't a more losing, messed up organization than that franchise in all of sports. And he was like, that's absolutely what we did. He's like, it was synonymous with losing and bad luck, and he's like
those Bucks, orange Bucks jerseys.
They're one of them. Holy yeah. By the way, it's another team. Yeah, same thing. And I said, so it was great to talk to him about that. He's like, you know, we have a house in Beverly Hills, me and my girlfriend, and we never get out there though. He's like, I think he said, yeah, I'd love to see you guys if we're out there. Which I was like, great, sure, come over.
Have you met him before, Kev?
I met him once or twice, but they love Maria. They really love. They adore Maria. So it's like they, you know, it's always. Because I'm Maria adjacent. Again, I'm Illuminati adjacent. That's how I get to talk to these people.
Do you have like these fanboy moments when you're with, I mean, you've got to think about your 20-year-old self sitting with, or even like your 10-year-old
self. I don't. No, I don't enough. Because I've just been.
When you were Sylvester Stallone or like any of these people who are like your.
But you'll see when you get older, you just evolve past all that.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
I think it's just because you've been there, done that. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate them as individuals. But not in that, no, not in that way. I'd probably be, with the wrestlers different. Yeah, I'm with like that with the wrestlers, but not with these guys. But I mean, I admire them, and but it was just great. And then talking to the owners of the Celtics, you know, they were just marveling at that team and what that team had done, and how excited they were. And they were so gracious to Maria. It was like she's been with us through the thin times, and we really love that about her, and she's our biggest fan celebrity. But you know who else was there, which I don't think Maria probably mentioned on her show, was Amy Schumer.
Oh, yes.
So
I didn't even see it.
You know what, she's there with her new husband, and Maria walked by her, and she was like, bitch, you know, it's me. And Maria didn't know it was, oh my God, Amy. So they were talking. The husband was great. You could see he's a little still in the shell shock of being with someone famous. I said, listen, you need any help? You got me.
You're the perfect person for him to
talk
to.
I was like, don't worry. Yeah. It's okay. You'll get through it. He was like, I'm going to take you up on that. He was a good guy.
God.
And then there was the guy from, there's a security guard who used to do security for Opie and Anthony called Club Soda Kenny. And he was like, Kevin? I was like, I'd never met him before, but he knew me from Sam. So it was
cool.
Nice. So we just had a great, that was really, it was just nice to hang out with those guys. And then we saw Lindsey Vonn, who I didn't realize was a Celtics fan. So she was there.
Yeah.
And we talked to her. And and then at the end of the game when they lost, we were next to the owners from Cleveland. And we all, on one side of us, like we're on floor seats, but our luck, we're literally next to the Cleveland owner and his family.
Dan Gilbert?
Dan Gilbert to the right and to the left, we're with these two Cleveland fans. One guy, like just big rugged guy, very successful construction. I guess he owns a lot of buildings in Cleveland or something. His girlfriend or wife was very sweet. But it also makes the game less fun.
Yeah, because you almost feel bad.
If you're me. If you're Maria, no. She's screaming and yelling.
She doesn't care,
right? But she also physically gets so wound up and throwing her body around. I'm like, Maria. And I pulled her down. I go, Maria, come on. I go, you know, like this Dan Gilbert guy, you could see it all over his face that this could very well be LeBron's last game in that uniform. And even if they did win, which they did, I felt he, in his heart, that he was like, it's over after this and this team is going to be in the basement. And, you know, so you could just feel his energy. So, Maria, please. I'm like, can we just, like, not rub it in and not be crazy around these people?
And did she heed
her? She did. No, she did. She did. And you know, and then they had a son who had brain problems with motor functions. He was clear and he was alert, but walking and all that stuff.
From?
I don't know. But I
had trauma, you think?
I don't know. I just talked to the mom and said, hey, we've been there. We get it. And, you know, we're here. So I helped sit him down. And when, you know, he came through. But after the game, it's funny. They said, oh, Dan Gilbert just sits there stoic always. He never reacts. The other people from Cleveland told me. I was like, okay. And like, he hasn't talked to anybody. I was like, all right. So after the game, I went up to him and said, hey, you know, I just want to say, what you've done for the city of Cleveland, you know, by opening the wallet up to LeBron and doing what you did, you know, like it's changed that whole city. I said, I really admire you for that. And I think you're awesome. And
he must have been so happy you said that.
He then started talking the way.
Really?
He's like, well, you know, thank you so much. He's like, but you know, you guys look at you, you're going to be fine the next 10 years. Like, I was like, oh yeah, but you know what? You just enjoy the moment, you know, and the wife was nice, and it was just nice. It was a great exchange. And then his kids came up to me because they knew Maria, and they were so excited, like that they won, and that we were being gracious and all that stuff. So it worked out well.
Kev, this is such a civilian question, but how does something like you sitting in Game 7 floor seats come to be? Do you guys send out a text message? Do you get an invitation?
A lot of times they'll invite us, but this time I think Maria mentioned, hey, we're going to be home. This is Mackenzie, who is our girl there, and she was the one. Oh, and then we also talked at length to Paul Pierce. That was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, we talked at length with him. And so Maria grabs Paul and goes, hey, let's talk LeBron. And he did it. So the two of them went under the basket during warm-up, started screwing with LeBron.
I saw the video.
It's crazy.
I saw a video.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it was during halftime. Maybe it was that he did it again, like, mid-game, because LeBron was, like, on the one end, and Paul Pierce is, like, chalking in his ear, and LeBron's just sitting there.
Yeah. So it was kind of fun.
Fuck?
It was fun to talk to
That's
Paul.
That's funny.
We talked about the year he won it and how underrated I still think that team is.
What is he like, personally?
Nice, fun.
Really?
Great guy. He lives close by, so he's not...
So he's not going to come on the Tomorrow Show.
I don't know if he'll come on the Tomorrow Show. He would, I guess, if we asked him to. But he's a great guy. It was just fun to see him. And Maria and him have been friends for a long time. It was just nice. It was just, you know what else was nice, too? Going beyond wins and losses. I think when I was younger, not only would have been starstruck, I would have wanted to hang myself with them losing. And now you're like, hey,
like
you know
Costa.
What? Yeah. Yeah. Well, like most sports bad, fans, right? Which is fun. But, you know, you get to a point where you go, hey, you know what? They had a miracle season. It was great. It was not in the cards for them.
You appreciate what is.
Yeah.
Just being there. And
that
like,
was fun. It was electric.
Of, like all the energy and just, yeah.
The amount of text messages I got, screenshots of you and Maria posting from my friends being like, holy shit, it's almost like you're there.
But here's the thing. Did Maria post or I thought we were on whatever channel it aired. I think we were on.
Because, I think both.
Because that's what I didn't send anything out. And that's what.
Yeah, Maria posted some picture because I know that people kept screenshotting it to me.
Yeah, we kept getting nailed like by.
Paparazzi.
And it was just, no. But like people just blowing us up. Hey, you there? And then that's hard too. It's like, hey, how come you didn't call? You're home? We're literally home as usual. We're in and out for such a short time. But it was fun. And then the other, you know what gets hard too? Sean, how do you handle this? When someone goes, Sean, hey.
You don't know who they are.
You not at all? Not even the face?
Nothing. You must get that all the time.
A lot.
But you have a good excuse because literally everyone's watched you
get hit.
Some people really think I should remember
they
them.
They do. No, they and most you know of the time they do. Yeah.
Some of them I should. And I'm really good about it. Like to the point where I remember people I've never even met before, Kev. Like I'm like, hey, haven't we met? Oh, you know. But anyways, I just
can you just be honest and say
yes.
Say how do we know each? How do you say it? What would you say? How do we know each other?
It's case by case.
What about when's the last time? Them,
they just have to kind of tell me, Kev, and I'll case by case. Sometimes, like if I think I'll be able to get away with it, I'll just go, yeah. But, you know, I don't feel the greatest when I do that. It makes me feel a little better.
Well, because I got a lot of that.
Yeah.
And at first I thought, well.
Just try to keep moving.
Where do I know them from? And then I thought, well, I think sometimes from hearing you on Howard and seeing with Maria, they just think like, Kevin. And like, hey, you know, oh, my son, he knew it was you. And they're forward.
I fall for it sometimes.
I all the time do. But I think I'd like to ask because if I know them, I'd like to know how I know them.
What about when's the last time I saw you? Hey, when's the last time I saw you?
When's the last time we saw each other? But then they may go, never, I don't know you.
Most people are pretty good, though, Kev.
Thank you.
What's that?
Most people are pretty good about telling me where they
were. I think I'm just going to be honest and say, remind me how we know each other.
Yes.
Yeah, because then if they don't, like if they never met you before, they'll go, oh, he was so nice. He didn't want to offend me.
Sometimes they do get offended. Oh, yeah. Like, it's me.
You know what? I hate to say it, but too bad.
Well, listen. Anyway, that was the trip home. Flew home and back to the grind, as they say. But it was it was nice to go home, and I'll be here for a little while longer, and then unfortunately.
When are you going back?
I will have to leave us. We go, Maria is on the cover of a magazine in New York, and then they're throwing a party for her. And I believe we will be seeing the Stearns, so that should be fun.
It's awesome.
That's always fun.
You've got cool friends.
Maria's good. Yeah, Maria does have cool friends, exactly.
He's your friend.
Huh?
He's your friend.
Yeah.
When somebody's family helps you pick out a wedding ring, they're your friends.
That's true. And he sent me a really nice card after the...
And raved about you on the radio.
That's true. He did say I was genius. I'm going to put that on my gravestone. Like, you know, what else do you need, right? What else do you need? Anyway, you guys...
Are you going to be watching the finals? I mean, obviously, the Celtics.
I think
lost,
I'd like to, and we may hope Cleveland can give them a run, but I'm pretty sure Golden State's just going to trounce them.
I don't know. They had a weird-ass series, too.
They did, but Houston's very good. Remember that, and it's just they lost Chris Paul, so that's anyway.
I'm really missing out, Kev, and I know that by not being so into sports. Team sports, I just can't help it when it's not instilled in you.
Right,
it's hard to ever be that into it like you guys are
because you always solo.
Who the what? All I had was wrestling in Tampa, Florida. Our team sucked. Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Orange were the shit.
When you grow up from Boston, it's like you can't close. If you close your eyes and you shut your ears, it's still everywhere. So, like you can't infectious. Even.
We had no baseball, and then you know because that was before the trop. The trop sat. They built it and it sat empty for like 10 years before there.
It's still. Somewhere. Can you believe? Opening day in Tampa is big, and then after that, didn't they have like under 1,000 people?
Under
record
10
lows
all the time.
Yeah, but even Sean, like, I mean, one game was a 400 or 500 people.
You know what, man, Kev, the baseball, like, from the St. Pete Cardinals, which was the
Triple A.
It would draw more than that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is it, though, I wonder, why is it that, is it because it's just so warm year-round you don't want to be in a ballpark?
I don't know.
Is it boring?
Kev.
I don't know.
I don't understand about that.
Mike, how do the Florida Marlins do?
Well, they won the World Series, I think, 10 years
ago. 10 years ago. But how do they do for attendance? Do you know?
I'll have to look it up. I'm sure maybe it's a little better now. Jeter obviously bought the team. It was part of the group that bought the team about a year or two ago. So I'm sure he's trying to bring new life.
Well, didn't he give away all the players?
And it's only
that was
like,
his thing.
And it's only like 30, 40,000 seater anyways. It's not like it's a big baseball stadium even.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Florida's a tough place to do anything. Anything.
It's funny. Jillian Barbary has it on her show. She has a segment, Florida, North Florida, where she'll write
all the weird,
weird stories and say, did this happen in Florida or not in Florida? Because it's such a crazy place.
Yeah, you're right. The Marlins game last month had 6,100 fans in attendance, while the same night their AA affiliate had 6,900.
How about that shit, right?
Wow. And like, then what about Tampa Bay, the Bucks?
Let me look it up here.
Wow.
Bucks do pretty good.
No, not now. Not recently.
Well, I mean, in recent past they have. Yeah. Like, you know,
well, they had a good
years.
Day. Had a couple of good years. Remember, they were making trouble for the Sox.
But Florida's really fair weathered, Kev.
Yeah.
If the team's not doing good, they are not supporting. They jump on the bandwagon real quick, though.
I feel like, again, I think those climates.
A bunch of transients from everywhere else, too, right? You know.
Yeah, transients, and then it's just that weather. Just you're out and about. Whereas in these other environments, between the snow and the rain, you're in. You're cooped up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is all you have in some of the other places.
And drugs.
And drugs. You have drugs, too. Roxamillion.
Yeah, Kev.
How was your week?
Ooh, baby. Ooh, baby. It was good. It was another wedding week.
Oh, I saw the Instagram, Jep. Mm-hmm. And what? How much did they spend on this wedding? $2,300? Bucks?
Yeah, maybe just
$3,000.
Maybe 230, maybe.
Grand.
Yeah.
Jeez, really another one?
Wow. I don't know.
I can't believe. Now, Rox, no goy can break this. Get in there, right? Michael Klaus can't get in?
We have some goys. We don't have goys like
She's
that.
She's pretty. Have I met this friend?
Dana was the one whose bachelorette was in Tulum. So you were texting her two friends, not her, because it was her bachelorette.
It was her, yeah. You look great, Rox.
But I don't know. You know what I was really happy about? And maybe this is a weird thing to say, but I got that dress online for $60.
I like it.
I thought really, you were a bridesmaid. It's so pretty.
She didn't have bridesmaids. She had people. Oh. I was a person. And you got to pick your own dress. I ordered it online. And all my friends showed up in like these $400, $500 dresses. And I bought something online for $60. So I was really happy with that. And it was good. There was a lot of drama.
Oh, what was the drama?
There's a lot of different things. So first of all, it was a whole weekend wedding. You know how some weddings are one thing and some weddings are...
By the way, I think that's so smart because you're spending all that money anyway. Mm-hmm. You might as well get as much out of it as you can.
So we went to the Red Sox game.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
And then there was a bar dinner thing, and then there was a rehearsal dinner thing, and then there was a actual wedding day of...
Far left is Lindsay?
Yeah.
Yep, I know Lindsay.
Yeah, exactly. And then the one next to her is George, who was P. Diddy's guy forever, who you met too.
Yep.
Actually, the guy on the far left is my ex-boyfriend, who is all over AfterBuzz's walls for prom pictures.
Oh,
so,
nice. Although, he looked familiar.
Although he looks like a child there. He was scruffier.
That's not the one.
Who's lappy one?
Wait, shit, I don't know what you're talking about, Sean. And I'm on my friend Kevin's lap.
Nice.
Yeah, who actually, ironically, is my only friend who listens to the show. So shout out to Kevin.
Kevin!
He called me out. He's like, you think nobody hears you talking shit about your friends, do you? And I was like, ooh, Kevin. He was like, you haven't said anything bad about me. And also, Kevin's the same one who's the biggest X-Pac fan.
Oh, yeah.
Who was why we were texting you in the 4th of July. He was like, you got to text him. Nice. So full circle there. But anyway, there was drama because there's a long weekend of drinking. And so, like, shit comes out to play when, like, people are with their
current husbands and their exes are there and all high school.
Yeah, because you guys are all so close.
So
you run
close.
So deep.
Yeah, and it was squad deep for sure. And also, like, drugs are involved, too. And
people get overserved.
People get overserved. And then people also, like, the worst part about the drug that goes up your nose, formerly known as cocaine,
sounds so good.
Is that, like, you turn into a monster. And, like, you're just greedy as shit. And so it just brings out, like, all of the worst characteristics. And then wedding is, like, this time of giving and joy. And instead people are like, get your fucking hands off my fucking belt. Like, it's just, like, the least generous.
Brutal.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, God. Like, you're essentially the worst version of yourself. You talk too much. You don't give a fuck what anybody else has to say. You're not willing to share anything. You don't want anybody else to be able to do anything. Like,
this doesn't sound fun.
No. The only person having fun is yourself.
It also makes some people a little looser.
Yeah.
And I know your friends were pressuring you to maybe hop on the single bandwagon and
There was a lot of like unwanted flirtation. I thought it would be fun to flirt.
To you?
To me.
Okay.
I thought it would be fun to flirt, but then I was just like not having fun with it. So, and because I've known the bride for the longest, I was on damage control all night, so I didn't get as drunk as I wanted to. And so that all of those things. But like the morning of the wedding, okay, here, I'll give you an example. The bride's mom is a little, she doesn't handle things well,
mm-hmm.
just like does not deal with things well. And so the first thing that happens, you get to the bridal suite and we're all getting our hair done. They plug in the blow dryers and the power goes out in the whole suite. Right? We're on a very strict schedule.
Someone's going to get someone's head rolled on.
We start at 8:30, and that means by 9:40 that this person has to be out, and by 10:50 this person has to be out, and by the, like, there's strict.
Yep.
So if the first people to sit in the chair, the power goes out, we're fucked. Like, everything's fucked. So instead of, like, being like, okay, let's just get this fixed, the mom, like, starts hysterically crying, puddle on the floor, starts screaming, is like, get me the fucking mint. And now we're pissing off the people at the hotel.
By the way, and let me just paint this picture. I'm just going to just throw it out there that mom probably hasn't heard the word no much in her life. And mom
has probably
a lot of money. Spends a lot of money, right? And maybe hasn't earned quite as much as the hubby.
Oh no! Actually, we're close.
She's the earner.
The two of them.
So they are.
Yeah, but still.
So then that's where the control thing comes in too.
Yeah. So she wants everything. So she calls down, and we're all sitting there, and she's like, "Where the fuck is?" And just screaming. So the bride goes up to her mom and is like, "Mom, I'm just really trying to keep a positive energy for the day. Like, is there any chance that
poor kid.
You know you can just step out for a second, and I'll have Allie deal with it." And the mom was like, "You don't trust me. This goes back to when you were 7.
And it just
escalates so quickly to the point that, like, everyone's crying. Everyone's yelling. Now we're off schedule.
I'm going to tell you, like, I wouldn't have that for one fucking second.
Mom stormed out, and it was like, hookie, good morning.
I would have helped mom or dad storm on the fuck out if they were acting like that.
Yeah. Oh, and the poor kid, this is what happens.
Calm.
Like, well, she's probably had to be like that the whole life because the mother is hysterical. And that's what you see. Oh, the poor thing.
She stayed calm.
Good. She'll be a good wife, though.
Yeah, great.
Great for the guy.
So it was fine, but like when that's the start of your big day, it was like I was like on all day, like, okay, mom, you're over here. Okay, let's, you know, doing the whole thing. So
putting out the fires.
Yeah.
Did they never really like make up?
The mom came back after a couple of hours with this fake smile on, and Dana was like, "Good to have you back." And she was like, "I just left to practice my speech." And it was like, no, you actually screamed, stormed out, crying because of something when she was sad. Like, that's not what happened.
She sounds like someone fun to work for.
Yes.
Probably a lot of fun to work for.
Super
great
fun.
Great boss. Cool boss.
Super fun. And the mom, not to mention, has despised me forever. Like, since Dana and I were 8 and BFF, she was just like, nope to this girl.
And how about the irony of you being the one
to
be the
solid
one?
What was her reason for not liking you?
I was not the person you wanted your kid to be best friends with.
Listen.
She had good reason.
She had her reasons.
Yeah. And they were fair. But the actual wedding, super duper fun, dancing all night. Like, everybody was just... But I was really glad. They were thinking about broadcasting Game 7, and the bride said, no, this can go one of two ways. Either we're doing well, and everybody's in more into this than my very expensive wedding, or we're doing poorly, and it brings the whole mood down.
Like, you know what? It also takes attention away from the – it's tough. It takes attention away from the wedding. You know, someone's spending all that money, and it's supposed to be the people's day.
Right. And they both are from Boston, so they both went like everybody would have been watching the game.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Was everybody still checking it on their phones?
Yeah, were they watching incognito?
Yeah, yeah, that did happen. But like, it was a great game and so fun until the very end. It was still a great game at the end, but like,
how was it? Were you okay going alone?
It sucks. I'll be honest, because. Really? It would be fun if I was single. It would be fun.
Oh,
but because I'm in this like in between limbo state, which limbo's for losers, we know.
Yes,
it's not as fun because like the guys that are flirting with me, I like don't feel like flirting back with because I'm like I'm not gonna fuck you, so you should flirt with one of the other people who's gonna, and then. But I don't want nobody to flirt with me because I'm like, I'm hot, I'm young, flirt with me. So it's that, like, you can't win.
Was there good game being spit? Or, like, was it the flirting got good?
Were you tempted?
No. No. This was one guy that I had the fattest crush on forever, and we had a flirt match for a very long time. But then he started flirting with me, and I was like,
Nothing.
Not, just nothing going on.
The tricky thing is when you date someone like you – and your home is 3,000 miles away. And I think there's something about Jewish culture, too, or even ethnic cultures, you know, that are super ethnic, where all the friends from kindergarten up just stay so tight. And
so close. And
the summer camp friends. So it is a lot to ask for a guy to have to be part of every one of those weddings and events. Mm-hmm. You know, it's money and time. I think at this age, I'd probably... offer that to somebody, but I think in my prime, no, I'd be like, no, we'll do a surgical effort. We'll do some. You tell me the top ones that are important. The other ones.
And I had it. What's so hard is that three of my closest people all within 3 months are getting married. And like, how do you,
right.
It's impossible for me to get back there. So,
You know, you always, I told you, you have me for your inflated date.
I need you.
I've done inflated date. You know how many times I've been proxy?
How many?
Oh, God, 11, 12 times for friends who were girls, but, you know, who didn't have significant others.
Yeah.
I was the amazing. So Michael calls me a good inflated date, too.
Yeah.
Not at that.
No? Too goy.
Way too goy. We do like Jewish rituals.
Yeah, he would. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh my really? God.
Yeah, like shit. That's so fucking fun. Like Jewish weddings
have fun.
You ever been to a Jewish wedding?
Gotta get thrown up in a chair. Like, the whole scam.
Like weird shit.
Oh, they do that to bar mitzvah.
Like the horror and shit.
I know,
like,
but Mike, you'd probably have to walk out of the room or turn his back or something during some of the things, right? Because because Mike, you would make baby Jesus cry. I would think.
Wouldn't want that.
He would be welcomed, but I don't think he would want to be like, it's so Jewy and fun and great, but like not very goy.
We have Jeff Graham from AfterBuzz is having his wedding, right?
In August. Yeah.
And it's going to be super goy.
Yeah.
I may even have Mike go in my place just because to represent the goys.
I met his parents. So nice. And you can tell it's like so obvious they're his parents.
Yeah. He's Jared from Silicon Valley, if you're a Silicon Valley fan. Listen, kids, why don't we, so we can get out of here on time, why don't we go to the news? I know there's a lot going on. I'm almost.
In the world.
Yeah, I know what you're going to start with, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts, Michael.
Well, this one's certainly sweeping Hollywood. A lot of backlash coming to Roseanne Barr the last 24 hours after her tweet storm at 2 a.m., which she blames on Ambien. Ambien actually responded on Twitter and says, "No, our side effects do not include racism." So she tweeted out, quote, "Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes had a baby, referencing a former Obama advisor and aide, Valerie Jarrett. Now, she claimed she was joking and then deleted the tweet and apologized. He also talked about Chelsea Soros Clinton, in reference to another high-profile character. Now, the action was swift by ABC, actually canceled Roseanne, which just a couple months ago had incredibly high ratings. It had come back. First season was already done. Again, incredibly high ratings. Second season was already in production. ABC president of entertainment Channing Dungey said, quote, "Roseanne's Twitter statement is abhorrent, repugnant, and inconsistent with our values, and we have decided to cancel her show." Other people certainly taking to Twitter, cast members who already said that they were planning to leave if the show wasn't canceled. Just, I mean, are you guys surprised at the swiftness? Are you surprised by her actions? I know she's had a crazy Twitter, and she's been very outspoken, obviously, the past decade.
I think this is one of two things, and I can't wait to hear what Kevin thinks. It's either self-sabotage, or there's a lot of conspiracy theories that ABC wanted a good reason to cancel this show anyway. What do you think?
No, they didn't.
No?
No. They wanted every reason to keep it.
It's such a money-making endeavor for them, but it's no longer a money-making endeavor when all of your advertisers are going to pull out because you've got a racist person. Like, so this was a business move, make no mistake about it. This was not, we have a heart for ABC and we don't want to be attached to this. This is going to lose us money long-term, unfortunately. We've got to fucking pull out.
There are a lot of conspiracy theories that advertisers weren't really going for the show anyway because of the content, because of Roseanne's views.
I don't rule it out, Christy. Hollywood's very left-wing to the end because of the culture we live in today. It's now the popular thing to be left, and it's super scary to be right. And the left, to me, is more vicious now than the right in terms of what will happen to you. If you don't agree with their views. So, you know, I know Tim Allen claimed that and everyone laughed at him, but I know when I talk to a lot of guys in Hollywood who are right wing, they're scared, you know, and they really have to keep their views. So I don't know. And you're right. I mean, if they're not getting the advertising dollars, I don't know. They might have been looking for an excuse. And yeah, definitely self-sabotage with her and craziness. And like, you know, I think with her, it's just like, wow. What are you doing, Roseanne? Come on.
And honestly, this is something that other people have said. What was ABC thinking they were getting when they signed back on dealing with her, doing business with her? Because you know damn well, Kev, when they do that kind of shit, when they get in bed with somebody, they have somebody going looking at their social media and all that stuff. I mean, and it was littered with all kinds of crazy shit.
I know, but
shit.
You would think, you know, I guess you would just think that, logically speaking, that the person wouldn't do that. You just, you know, I mean.
You know what?
200 jobs. That's 200 jobs. Yeah.
And then, you know, imagine most of those people get employed, but the rest of that staff is. Hadn't worked in 20 years, the actors.
Yeah.
And we probably won't be seeing them again.
And she brought, and you know what? Like, her talking about tweeting on Ambien, like, yeah, that makes you, like, uninhibited and, like, tweet out just whatever the fuck's coming, the first thing that comes to your mind. But
that came to your mind.
That's what came to your mind. That's the problem.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know why everyone just feels this need to express their opinions, their political opinions, like literally everybody. I was talking with Sam Roberts today, and I said, Sam, I think I'm going to start.
I quit.
Tweeting all my opinions about every single thing going on, both left and right. Just, you know, I think I feel like I'm missing out. Sounds like it just seems like a lot of fun.
I quit.
Kev, you have your saying that like half of life is showing up. I think half of keeping a job is just not saying something stupid.
Yeah,
and
right.
Just not tweeting out.
But why? You know, even Tom Arnold's rebuttal. You know, why? Why do all these actors and influencers? I mean. I get influence for positive, but you know, for me, one of the recent things I want to do. Maria's show covered this one guy that saved the baby on the balcony. Mm-hmm. He climbed up all the things.
Oh, yeah, this guy. Talk about that. Go ahead.
I don't even know what you're talking
did
about.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
In France?
This is pretty amazing, right?
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, but I'm like,
you think it was a gimmick?
Wait,
man,
what happened?
What was the fucking guy doing all the way up there, right next to the
there?
Kid? What the fuck? How come he didn't save the kid?
I don't know.
What are you guys? Yeah, I know
what
you're talking
what happened?
About.
There's a video of a guy who climbed this building.
Man, like, I'm going to get heat, but
Wait, Sean,
this.
Let him say what happened. Sorry. I don't even know what
you're
talking about.
You can see it here. You watch. Because it happens really fast. There's a baby hanging. You can see it. See the baby hanging in this video. And watch this guy climb. He's an unbelievable athlete. Look at him just go right up. Now he's up one level.
Oh, the guy didn't get there until later.
They didn't say how the baby got there?
The baby was being unsupervised and then started playing around. And then next thing you know, was hanging over.
Yeah.
I take it back, Kev. All I saw was a still shot, but that guy
Watch this with one hand. He doesn't even get all the way up. Boom.
It's amazing.
And I wanted to tweet this out because
that's pretty fucking
wild. It's like, you know what? This is something positive to look at.
Yeah.
You know, it's always hatred, negativity.
And the French president he was actually undocumented, that guy, so he granted him citizenship and offered him a job at the fire station.
That's amazing. So, yeah. I mean, again, that's the only, I wish people would use social media for more positive stuff and not fake hashtag blast, like the fake positive namaste.
I feel shitty that I questioned that, but I did so often looking at a still picture, Kev.
Sean, you know what? You would not have gotten into the Illuminati had you not questioned things.
Right.
That's why they accepted you.
And of course, because Trump couldn't stay out of this one, since one of the leaders of ABC actually called.
Are you back
Valerie
on Roseanne?
Yes.
Yeah. Since they called Valerie Jarrett, he tweeted, "Well, I have never gotten a call for all the bad things they've said about me."
He actually did it in third person too.
Yeah.
Like, did you ever call Donald J. Trump? No.
Well, moving on to another high-profile person in Hollywood who is actually defending.
You know, can we have one more question, though? You know, You know, you just wonder, is there any home for her anywhere?
Roseanne?
Yeah.
For a right-wing audience who's just like, you know what? We don't care. We love her. We want to see her. Or is it just maybe on tour doing stand-up?
I think there's plenty of audiences, like you said. Either it's on tour or, like, there's so many outlets you can have.
But where?
Facebook,
who would put up the money to produce a show, right, that would
Give it 6 months.
Agreed.
Give it
really?
6 months. Oh, yeah. I think because you saw the popularity of her show. You saw the popularity.
True, but she hasn't been around so long. You know, I don't know. What company wants to take that on?
What about an entire right-wing network?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, what's out there?
I mean, yeah,
Sinclair.
Sinclair?
Yes.
Okay.
We
major
shall see.
Big-time right-wing. Yeah.
And what do they produce?
They have the biggest. They own, like, more syndicated TV stations than any other company.
Yeah, they're the largest owner of individual local news stations.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of controversy over their news right now.
The one thing I'll say is I hope she doesn't get a second chance, because I think she would only dig in deeper. But I do think that we have to think about, instead of chopping these people's hands off, it just makes them more angry, more racist. And she said that. I think find her most recent tweet. I had heard she tweeted out and said, "Yeah, you guys are pissing me off." Like she's, and I'm plotting my next move or something.
Well, she is going on Joe Rogan on Friday, which will be her first interview. About the situation.
Shout out to Joe Rogan.
No,
right? Because she goes on his show. But you know, I don't know. I just think that both sides just keep digging in and digging in.
That's exactly. And this
so it just makes her more angry, more violent, more racist. Her people more angry, more violent, more racist. So, you know, I would have liked to have seen a nice spanking and said, "Listen, this is it. You know, take a break and do a suspension or whatever." Like, I think I would have rather seen that.
Like, if it was something like that, as long as it was something, Kevin, something like. Big.
And then she does it again.
It
get her out.
Cancellation.
And then get her out.
I don't think people would have been like upset if they didn't cancel the show, but they did something to her specifically.
And now it's by ABC doing this. It almost sets a precedent for all networks. So everyone else who sneezes is going to get.
No, I don't believe that.
No,
I think anyone who sneezes on the right side, and I say that respectfully, but anyone who sneezes on the wrong side. Again, I think her being conservative, again, I am
That's what I'm saying, Mike. No, the left can say what they want.
It's not true.
I think. You don't think so?
No.
Give me an example.
Well, look at what happened when Bill Maher.
He's still on the air.
Still on the air.
But he got a very, like,
yeah,
And he lost
Pete
everything.
Oberman was just brought back to ESPN after how many times has he said things inappropriately?
He lost everything. And also,
who lost
like,
everything? He didn't lose everything, honey.
Oh, my God.
He
as
had
much
Ice
as
Cube
Roseanne
come on.
Did,
get,
think
no,
about,
he had Ice Cube come on.
Think about
he
how
got
famous
great
she
ratings.
Is and how he lost his fan base and she just grew hers
he
more.
Didn't, no, Roxy, he's still on. This is where you get Stu Gatz.
No way. He's people still, hate him,
it
Kevin.
It doesn't matter. He's still on the air. He's always going to be polarizing. Bill Maher's still on the air. That show still kicks ass. You're talking about her.
I don't know. People hate him.
Yeah, but
the liberals hate him.
Whatever. And they also hate him because he owns guns and he kind of and he's tough on the Muslims. Like he listen, he does what he does. But rocks. No, he's Bill Maher. He still has a career. You know.
You don't think Roseanne Barr
but it just
has a
wasn't
career?
Anything like that.
No, not now. No, I think she'll be able to do stand up. But no, not. I don't know. It's gonna be. Listen, to Kurt be on air in.
How
some,
about any of the Me Too people? All liberal.
Who's that?
Harvey.
Hmm.
Russell Simmons?
But I think that's
Russell
different.
Simmons?
That's not political.
No, what that, do you those mean? Are good points. You're right.
That's not political.
What I'm saying is that it's not like liberals are not going to ever slap liberals on the wrist. They're gonna. They have. You don't just stand by somebody because they're liberal.
I think, to Michael's point, if it's political, like the Harvey
stuff. Why is racism
about,
political?
You don't think it's versus rape?
I think rape and racism are both
fun.
Transcend fun.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
Listen, the fucking the Republicans don't have the market cornered on racism. That's for sure.
Yeah, for
no,
sure.
Don't.
I think ABC made the right call letting her go, but I think it was an easy decision for them. In terms of like they were, I would agree that they were probably looking for a reason to let her go. Like you said,
but they picked up the show.
But Last Man Standing, great example. Owned by ABC, 6 years, had phenomenal ratings, was dropped. Why? They were the number one time slot. They were the number one show in their demographic. Dropped. Why? Because it was a conservative show.
Well, at least that's what Tim Allen claims.
Yeah, agree to disagree. Moving on to, again, another high-profile person in Hollywood who's defending himself against some attacks on 8 women who have come forward. Morgan Freeman being accused of making inappropriate comments and actions toward these women. And all 16 women spoke to CNN. 8 of those said that they personally had incidents with him. 8 who have said that they witnessed incidents. Now, Morgan Freeman initially offered an apology without saying that he did anything wrong, saying that he apologized if he made anyone feel uncomfortable, certainly not his plans. Now he's actually going at CNN, issuing a statement through his lawyer saying that he wants them to retract their May 24th article and give just as much coverage to this of him wanting the retraction as their initial accusations. Do you guys believe him? Do you think that what he did was overstepping, and how far?
From what I gather, it was like something along the lines of, hey, you wearing any underwear under that skirt? Mm-hmm. Am I correct with that, Michael?
Yeah, it was certainly more so of comments than it was of actions.
Yeah.
There's one
so what
action
do we want?
There was one action of like him maybe trying to lift up someone's skirt, which is an accusation.
Okay.
But the rest are mainly comments. Mm.
Well, it's to Roxy's point. You know, you would think he's left wing, and they buried him too. So, but we don't know. We don't know what he did.
I don't even know what to say about this one because, like, he's double backed so hard. Like, and not only did I not, but fuck you guys, apologize to me. And it's like that's what makes me think you're guilty. Like,
do you think he's playing the game
well,
in that term because he
really?
Feels like
or
he has
he,
to?
Or if he's
come
innocent,
back?
He's like, hey.
I don't know. Did
do you think the initial apology is what makes you say that?
I feel like Aziz Ansari wasn't like, give me a fucking apology. He was just like, I didn't do anything.
The public kind of did it for
this
him.
Is, we're talking about, like, I don't know, like three different generations
right.
apart between Aziz and Morgan Freeman. And Morgan Freeman, even like guys that aren't that old, like guys that are, say, you know, some of my friends of mine's age.
Right.
Think it's appropriate to do some fucking shit like that still.
Yeah.
This is Easy Reader we're talking about. That's my Morgan Freeman.
I don't think,
company.
I mean, should we head on a chopping block? What do we do?
I don't know. Chop, I think chop everyone off.
Yeah.
Just
say fuck it, right?
Yes.
Just get it, all of them.
Break everybody. That's what I say. And just
and like the fact that I was reading this list today on one of those sites. I'm sorry because it wasn't Huffington Post, but it was like a reputable site, and it was like the 32 actors who have been accused of sexual misconduct since Harvey Weinstein, and it was posted on the 18th. I don't know if you guys can find it, but with everybody's name that's on there, it's such different varying degrees. And like to see Morgan Freeman's name on there next to somebody like Kevin Spacey,
oh,
and
God.
Then that name's yeah. next to Aziz Ansari, and that name's next to Louis C.K., which name is next to Dustin Hoffman. It's like we're not, and then Russell Simmons, we're not talking about the same thing. No. These are not like, and now people are like, oh my God, did you hear that Morgan Freeman raped women? And it's like,
exactly.
Wait, what? Like, what just happened? Who, like,
I don't understand.
Because nobody's reading the articles. Nobody's reading the fucking articles. They're just seeing the Twitter headline.
And it's fun to just kill people. It's fun to just chop heads off.
That's I'm not saying what they're doing is good, but like,
do you guys think that someone who is being accused and wants to profess their innocence has to be careful about the way that they do that? Like in this
yes.
situation where Morgan is being really adamant, is it detrimental to people who have definitely been victims of this?
I don't know. I don't think we have yet figured out a formula. Because I know Jeremy Piven was very vigilant.
Gay? Oh.
really? You heard that? I know. I mean, I know a lot of people who dated.
He didn't kiss like a gay guy.
Yeah, no. He kisses straight. But anyway, he was very vigilant. He fought hard. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think they're all just trying new strategies
right.
of how to, you know, combat it. They've seen strategies and they're like, oh, this didn't play out well. So let me just try this. Let me try the sue 'em approach.
Yeah.
I can't. What about, I used to like the gimmick where you could go to Al Sharpton and just give him a lot of money behind the closed doors and then go on, get lambasted on his show, and then he would say, okay, forgive and move on.
No, Al's a reputable guy.
He is, but oh. I'm just saying, that's why you go to Al. I thought that would just fit. He fixes everything, no?
Well, the guy who started it all, Harvey Weinstein, has been indicted today on rape and sexual act charges in New York City. He turned himself in last week. Today,
with his passports and everything,
indictments came in.
No escape.
They won't be
no escape. Now, people are wondering if there's even going to be a trial or if he will actually just settle for a plea and go straight to jail. Do you guys
Sean,
see him wanting a trial?
He wears orange and goes behind bars.
Fucking A. You want to know why? Because he's facing 25 years, Kev.
So he'll just do 5?
Fuck yeah, he will.
Have you guys seen headlines like, Harvey Weinstein changes his tune, turns himself in, like... He was getting fucking arrested. How does this turn into like he's being the good guy already?
Yeah. Well, it keeps from ending up cuffed and stuffed in the back of a fucking cop car and getting processed and spending a night in jail. All
to
that
me,
shit.
Turning himself in meant that he thinks there's a lifeline.
Yeah, that he's not scared, right?
He's scared, but I think but again, do I pull a Roman Polanski and go to, you know, I told you the program for Harvey, what he needs to do. He's got to go to China and say to them, listen, I have the formula to make great movies. You guys, you spend so much money exporting our films. We can make them here.
Yep.
They're not going to care what he's done, you know, and boom, done. He's right back in business. But I feel like he doesn't have as much money as we think. I think a lot of his money's kind of gone away.
Yeah, but those guys always seem to have the good lawyers and seem to
have
a friend.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. When he
some kind of access to
that
money.
That was one thing he could have done, but I don't think he's got the money to make it over there. And I also feel like he thinks that either he can beat this or this will be minimal, and I'd rather do that than live in fear of extradition the rest of my life.
But,
Sean,
people,
would they extradite him if he went to China?
Of course they would.
Even over this charge,
too
huh?
High, yeah, too high profile.
But why did they do that with Roman Polanski?
I'm saying that, and I'm answering your question like
Sean,
I'm some kind of a
different
fucking
time
expert.
Period, Kevin. Don't you think like now?
I don't know.
The what, hot seat?
Different time period. It's a lot harder to track someone. It was years ago. Yeah.
So that's why Roman didn't get.
Yeah.
Okay,
and plus, people got away with this shit back then,
like,
and they looked the other way.
Like
Kev.
Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Like, can we fucking
come the fuck on?
But why? Well, is he,
well, he,
why are
because
people
he married,
still?
He married her. That's why. That's what ended it, Rocks.
But then, what was the deal with the
smartest
daughter
play he ever did?
Of,
well, he married her.
Yeah, but then her sister.
Did he have relations with her? I don't know if we.
Oh, are we talking?
Yeah, she's claimed that he totally was raping her,
but in a good way.
But I don't think no. she says that, but we no. could tack it on if we want.
Well, hey, so, Kev.
So anyway, so you think he's Harvey does, what, 2 to 5? One of those deals?
I bet you something like 5. I'm going to... That's got to be like...
Does he get raped in prison?
No. No, solitary.
He's not going to be around other people.
No, they'll put him in solitary.
Somebody will try to kill him or whatever. But
yeah. He's famous. He's going to be in solitary.
So, Kev, I was mentioning earlier, I just happened to be watching the news, and... I saw a clip online, and it was from the White House presser, and a little kid, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, asked... You know, went to him for a question, and this is the question.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's...
My school, we recently had a lockdown zone. One thing that affects mine and other students' mental health is to worry about the fact that we or our friends could get shot at school. Specifically, can you tell me what the administration has done and will do to prevent these senseless tragedies?
I think that as a kid and certainly as a parent, there is nothing that could be more terrifying for a kid to go to school and not feel safe. So I'm sorry that you feel that way. This administration takes it seriously, and the School Safety Commission that the president convened is meeting this week, again, an official meeting, to discuss the best ways forward and how we can do every single thing within our power to protect kids in our schools and to make them feel safe and make their parents feel good about dropping them off.
We need more guns. Got to have more guns. Right, Mike, all we got to do is get more guns.
I mean, it's that easy.
To the school. Simple. Guns, meet guns head on.
Yeah. A lot of people remarking on that she actually showed emotion, which is not often done in there. But they also say that she didn't actually answer the question, you know, kind of gave a generic answer. So both sides there. Sean, what were your thoughts?
You know, I mean, those that she has a job, Michael, where she has to go out there and bullshit the American people every fucking day. And she couldn't do it right there. That's how I feel about that, and
so
she's a human being.
Were you happy with her response then, Sean?
I don't know about the response, but I mean it's her, like, you know, the emotion that she showed right there, it speaks volumes to me like that. I mean, she you can't bullshit a little kid like that, you know?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
So crazy.
I apparently you don't agree with me, Ev.
No, I do. I can't keep responding to these stories because how I don't understand how people live, period, when they're so wrapped up in this stuff. You know what I mean?
And I'm not, you know, they just, all, and that's a press secretary's job to go out there and, like, lie a lot.
I guess she has a 3-year-old kid of her own,
it's
too.
It's not,
that's
you
why,
know,
thank you, Teddy.
It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. That's what they do. They go out there and they have to bullshit and they have to lie sometimes.
Mm-hmm. No, it's 100%.
I mean, she probably has the hardest job on his staff and in the
history
of the White House.
Nobody's ever happy or satisfied with the answer you give. Yeah.
But because he's such a firecracker, that
it's got to be the worst.
Worst ever. I think in the history of, you know, White House jobs.
Would you take that job?
Would I? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Please don't.
You'd be good at it.
Yeah. Listen, everybody.
I just can't imagine you.
Well, I would have to try.
Just be your background music?
Yes. No, I would. Why not? It'd be a challenge. And also, I think I would try to get in his ear a little bit if I could.
Plus, the jobs you can get after that job, a lot of the previous press secretaries.
Great scam.
Gone on to fantastic.
Great
positions.
Scam.
Like what?
I remember it was one of Obama's first ones, got a job with Google, like a multi-million dollar
job.
Corporate job. Because they make government money here. You know, for a couple of years. That's why each press secretary, like, what, 2 years max?
It's such a burnout.
And then it's like, all right, next corporate job, multi-million dollar salary.
That way, I wouldn't be able to do it because I say stupid things on the show all the time. No, they'd push my buttons. I'd be done. No,
That wasn't her. Like, she had never done that before. Like, I'm pretty sure. Like, it's just they couldn't keep a press secretary.
No. Especially for that. Mike, before we go out, tell me about orbiting and the new dating trend.
So orbiting is this new trend that is really making waves. They finally have this name for it, and it is where you maybe talk with someone online, you maybe go on a date, and then you completely ignore them except on social media. You like their posts, you're viewing their stories, but you never actually make contact. It's almost like stalking online after you've met. Has anyone have one of these people in their lives, one of these people that you notice, you're like,
a little bit.
This person like watches my stories, likes my tweets, but they never actually talk with me, and what are they doing?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You guys, I feel like everybody has that.
I got a lot of friends that do that.
No, like guys I've met one time, and then like they'll just fucking watch my stories over and over, like forever. And remember, you used to be able to see, not on Instagram, but on Snapchat, when somebody would take pictures of your shit, yes. Or when they would view it twice, and they would like screenshot things and view it. Yeah,
so
all
is
the
that,
time.
Is what that a two-way thing, or is that a one-way thing?
I don't think I've ever orbited at somebody.
So you go back and forth? Is that what you're saying?
Can I just tell you how dumb our business is, you guys? So we literally had a major, huge executive today tell me. So we have a social media dating show and that we're making the rounds on. And they were telling me how, social media, it just doesn't – I forget what they said. It was something effective. Social media and dating and this and that and doesn't work on TV. And they give me all the reasons why. And I said, is there anyone under the age of 50 that when they meet someone doesn't immediately go to Google and Instagram and Twitter? And furthermore, you know, even when you meet the person, you don't go through their stories, their Instagram. Am I missing something here? But no, apparently the smart people in Hollywood know better than me. But I mean, Roxy is right. Isn't that your? Is everybody's go-to?
If you don't do that, if you don't look somebody up, then you're a serial killer. And
but
so
then
are
again,
they.
What do I know? Okay, you guys, let's start taking the ship out of orbit, shall we?
Orbiting.
Ooh.
Yes, no pun intended. Oh, look at Maria's notes. Interesting. From
what you
Maria
got?
We had Dr. Jeremy Rudnick on today.
Yes, brain tumors and cancer in general.
He was amazing.
Oh, yeah, you were there.
Amazing. It was so good.
Well, listen.
Hey, yes. Kev.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about doing our show on, was it Thursday?
Yes, I am. It's an experimental show as of now.
Yeah.
So Sean and I are going to we're going to call it Rabbit Hole Wrestling. So you know when you go to YouTube and you'll watch a video and then another video gets you excited, whatever. You kind of fall down the rabbit hole. Well, we're going to do that with some of my old wrestling classics.
Love it.
I cannot wait to watch
that
this.
I think is amazing, but then, you know, Sean doesn't think they're as amazing.
That's the best part of it.
Oh, when can we catch this?
Swing a couple of days,
I don't know when we'll get it out, but we're going to tape it tomorrow and see how it goes. But yeah, I'm going to take Sean down the rabbit hole of some of my favorite matches from the days of All-Star Wrestling and Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
My childhood of WWF.
Did Joe tell you about the Florida wrestling? Well, I told you. Never mind. I took him down the Florida rabbit hole.
Did he like it?
Because it's way better than the shit you guys grew up on.
Yeah, but yeah,
so
but,
you know, Steamer in the chat kidding. Says about damn time.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Hey, but
I'm just kidding about WWE wrestling.
No, I know that, but see, were they in the cheap studios, the Florida ones? I can't buy into it, Sean, when it's 11 people.
Yeah, but.
Like
yeah,
when Vince, you know, it looked like a big show.
No, it didn't, Kev. It just, in your mind, you remember it that way.
Okay, no, but also they blacked out. He was so smart. He darkened the audience, mm-hmm. So you could only see the first four or five rows. You didn't know, you know, that it was small.
Yeah.
But compared to WTBS in Atlanta and those other things, were like, there was, you could see.
Oh, man.
Wow, you guys have a built-in audience right now. Demo in the chat, I need to watch the show. AJ says, I so would watch this. Teddy nice. Says, same here. Matthew says, yes, Stone Cold and The Rock were awesome. I don't know if you guys...
Well, we're going to go... No, we'll get up there. We're going to go to the real shit shows, but we'll get back up there. Christy, you should sit in with us if you can.
I would
when
love
we do
to.
It. But we'll do the experiment tomorrow. Until then, Roxy, where do we find you?
At Roxy Stryer, or at a wedding close by somewhere.
You have... DC movie news. You still have a lot of other scams.
Yeah, totally. DC movie news tomorrow. That's Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Popcorn Talk. Also, tomorrow, Thursday at 2 p.m., we're doing the Originals After Show for AfterBuzz TV, and Charles Michael Davis, who's the star of the show and directing that episode, is Skyping in with us. So we're really excited about that. Holla for a dollar.
Michael Klaus, what do we got?
Monday is the season 3 premiere of I Could Never Be.
Woo!
Which very you're already
back with that, huh?
Already back, season 3. So got a lot of people I'm talking with. One who guess who I am like 75 or 80% with confirmed for Monday. I'm pretty excited. Really hoping that it works out.
Put it out there. Put it out there, Michael.
It's Kirk Cameron.
Oh, wow.
So a fellow goy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Super Christian.
So I've been talking with this publicist for a couple months. We're just trying to figure it out to get specific. So that'd be great. I'd really enjoy talking. Obviously, grew up watching his film, so really
careful,
excited.
Don't get canceled.
Hey, now.
I didn't know that he was super Christian. Oh, yeah. Is that, like, known about him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Supremely.
He's
it's like
cute.
all the stuff that he does right now, all the content. So he has his movie that he had in theaters like a month or two ago, Connect, is now coming out for home release on like DVD and Blu-ray. So
he does do well, don't they? Kevin?
Who's that?
All those Christian movies, when they go into the theater, we don't know about it, but they do well.
They're easy money.
Yeah.
So a mainstream movie, you could make hundreds of millions or lose everything, right? But those Christian niche films won't make hundreds of millions, but they will return a profit.
Kev, why aren't we making Christian niche films?
Well, your boy Shawn Michaels made one.
Yeah.
Remember I went and saw it? I went to support him.
Oh, my God. Kirk Cameron married Chelsea Noble? Where was I? The two people from Growing Pains?
You're at a wedding back east.
In 91? It was 27 years ago.
It was one you didn't make it to.
Where was I? Wow, ask him about that, Michael.
I'll make sure to do that.
Thanks.
That'd be a good interview, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. Because especially, he has the story of, obviously, he walked away.
I mean, he's like you before you met me.
I liked, I liked him in the Left Behind series. Did you see any of those?
Yeah, I saw those, and he was also in the movie Fireproof, which did
That's
really
the big
well.
Christian. That's like the goy model of...
Because like you said, Kev, they're made for really little. It's made for $500,000, gross like $33 million. I Can Only Imagine was another one of those, a couple million dollars was made. It just grossed like $72 million. Yeah.
He does a lot of Christian
shit. Yeah, he does. But hear what I say about whether you're making the Christian movies or even the Hallmark movies, the Lifetime movies. Just because you make those niche movies doesn't mean they have to be bad. And so now they're actually making ones that are getting critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
But, I finally saw a couple of Lifetime movies this weekend, actually, about different abductions that took place. And they were well done. Taryn Manning starred in one of them. And they were well done. And I was like, finally. Because, they'll do the Britney Spears movie. And they're like, well, it's a Lifetime movie. Well, it's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait. So why would, if you're an executive, why would you mail it in? Get a good writer. Come on, man. Like, you throw a rock and get a good writer. Get a good director. You don't need name actors. Just get good actors. Like, so why... Again, it's whoever's running the show. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you? So, a lot of the Christian movies are schmaltzy and, cheesy. But then there are a couple that I know did well on Rotten Tomatoes, as far as how they were reviewed. So... just make a good movie. I think it's a smart thing, but doesn't have to be cheesy or bad.
A good Christian movie, I think, is one that you don't necessarily know it's a Christian movie.
That's
how I feel about Christian rock.
Original Bad News Bears, great Christian movie.
Die Hard.
It's just
dropping the N-word.
Because you trick people into coming in, but then you give them the Christian message.
That's
on the DL,
which is
subtext.
Yes,
that message is.
Well, needless to say, Michael. It's very sick. Michael, how is your courtship going?
Oh, it's going. There have been, we've been out of town. Like, it hasn't been the right timing. So I don't mind that, though. I mean, we're both busy. I wish I had more juicy
details. Well, Mike was leaving after, that night, I think, when we were cleaning up after the party, maybe.
Yep.
I said, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
She's Mike. She's a good girl. You wanted this one you want to focus on, whatever. And he just gave you the, whatever, boss. Don't worry about me.
No.
I got this.
No.
I don't think she's one of the, you know.
No, she's not. She's.
I think she's like a.
She's not caught up in the industry. Which
but I also think, you know what I'm saying to Roxy? I think she can stand her ground with you. I think she's an independent woman. She's not, you know, she's just enough woman to be with her a real man. But then she's strong enough, too, to not be barefoot and pregnant and, you know.
All that.
What's the barefoot part?
Stuff.
That's an old saying.
Oh, yeah. It's like
barefoot, pregnant in the kitchen.
Middle America.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Interesting.
It's horrifying.
Exactly how we like them.
Keep us posted. Bonjour, Juliette. What's up with you?
Michael was only serious.
I am currently on the Botched After Show on AfterBuzz TV, so go make sure to go check that out. I'm also doing this A&E show, Cults and Extreme Beliefs. And
it's incredible.
It's incredible. I really urge you to watch the show.
Okay.
Then come watch the After Show. We just really break it down. And we
what
go
night is
down.
That on?
That is on Tuesday nights. And
Very
we really
cool.
go down
Wednesday, Tuesday.
We really go down the rabbit hole and give you lots of news and lots of facts, and we just really break down even further than the show does, so you can all your questions hopefully are answered.
Are you doing the current one on the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes, we are doing that tomorrow.
Did you do the one on NXIVM already with Allison Mack?
I love NXIVM. I want to join.
How crazy is that? Such
incredible,
right?
Yeah, so we did.
And we don't talk about it enough, really.
So, like, if you're an incel, all you have to do is start a cult like that, right? Like, and then you're,
so great.
Yeah.
We could convert AfterBuzz so quickly.
That guy couldn't have gotten laid if he wasn't in that.
No.
No.
The cult leader
and think
status.
Of all the money. It's sickening. All the money these people are making.
Well, his party's over now, though.
Wait, what the fuck was that one that I heard about of the girl from
this is the one.
This is what we're talking about.
Smallville. That's what you're talking about. Oh, that's her name? That was fucked up. Welcome to the show, Roxy. Thank you.
So go watch the after show, Roxy, on AfterBuzz TV. All your questions will be answered.
You know I will.
I'm gonna do that.
I'll audit
Juliette,
that shit all day.
I gave you more work on your plate today because I signed you up to produce a big show that just got greenlit over there.
Oh, very cool.
I don't want to say the name of it, but it's pretty big.
Okay,
don't say it then. You always change your mind.
I'm not gonna
say it. Okay,
Sean, where do we find you? What's going on with you?
At The Real X-Pac. I had a good show. We had a good show.
Today was Christy a big one.
Yeah, we talked. We broke down the Eric Bischoff, Conrad Thompson podcast, 83 Weeks, where he goes into his version of firing me and all the DX invasion and everything. And I had some issues with a few things he said. Some things I was on board with what he said, and I appreciated his comments on a lot. He put me over in a lot of ways. I just disagree. We have a different of events.
I think sometimes, too, when it happens to you, you are going to have a clearer recollection. Whereas him, he had
a lot of other shit going
200
on.
200 Xbox yes. he was dealing with, you know. So, I can't wait to hear.
And Glacier, he was the guy that looked like Sub-Zero. He's a great guy. Yeah.
He was on your show.
Yeah, because he's...
What would you talk... I mean, to me, he was one of the most underwhelming deliveries. Remember they built him up? Glacier's coming.
And then NWO came, and that was it.
But then even when he got in the ring, he couldn't really do much, right?
No, he could do some stuff. He could do more than... Like we were talking,
he was a shoot guy.
Yes, he was doing the UWF Japanese, stuff I used to do when I was younger. I just like the entertaining stuff more.
Right.
But anyways, I thought we had a great discussion with him, Christy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a school in Atlanta that I went and did a wrestling clinic at.
Oh, good.
And they're having a American Dream Scholarship.
Nice.
For Dusty Rhodes.
I want to see. I just saw you did Hurricane Helms, too.
Yeah, he was on last week. It was fun.
Right?
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
Right?
Yeah. Funny guy. Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. He was great in the Royal Rumble this year.
Yes.
I thought he's a great spot in his little moment.
No, yeah. Cena,
on Twitter?
Cena was great with him, too.
Yeah, we talked and, we talked about all that stuff.
All right, I'm in. Christy Reports.
Hey, hey.
I know you're on Sean's show. You also do a Maria show, Conversations with Maria. Where do we? Is it at Christy Reports?
It is at Christy Reports.
So exciting. So nice to be at Christy Reports. That's, I think, where I want to be more.
You know what? It's a good place to be right now because I feel like every single day with Maria Menounos, I become like a like 7 to 10% just better person overall in general.
I think Maria says the same thing. Well, you guys have such great people on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's that female blogger this week? I got a lot out of her too.
Amber Ray, she's the author of Choose Wonder Over Worry.
Wonder Over Worry, Roxy Stryer.
I'll borrow you my copy.
I don't know if I can do it.
It's pretty light.
No, not the reading part.
Oh.
Listen.
The not worrying part.
Oh. It's at Undergaro, and
thanks,
if you want to hear more from me, tomorrow night I do AfterBuzz TV Jersey Shore, where I turn in my uniform and I put on my Guido outfit. And then Sunday night I do Billions, and I think next week, in the week, you know, the Monday after that I do Bar Rescue. But you know what's on tap is got to do Cobra Kai. At AfterBuzz.
So many people are talking about that show.
We've got to do Cobra Kai. We've got to do Wild Wild Country. And we've got to do Evil Genius.
What about Love?
And we got to do Love. So, Scamulet, let's go.
Okay, let's do it. I have to say, that's a lot of shows. I know you're able to do it, but I also have Maria Menounos who is tracking.
Oh, my, because of my health right now, what I can handle?
Yeah, your duties at AfterBuzz. I had to give her a breakdown today.
True dat. Well, listen, there's lots of other Jews over there that want to work with me, so they'll take the pressure off. Well, anyway, kids, listen, we had a lot of fun. We didn't learn much. Usually we never do. But thanks for hanging in with us. We will be back Wednesday with more exciting things to talk about. And I think after that I fade away, Rox. I think Roxy, I think I get another Wednesday or two with me, and then I'm going to fade away for a little while.
I don't like it.
Then Roxy comes in as my Jew.
I don't like a fade away from you.
All right, well.
I like it. I support it, but I don't like the quality of our shows when you're gone.
Well, I receive what
you're saying. Everybody else rocks.
That's not true. I receive what you're saying.
With love and light?
With love and light, and I honor it.
And you give me back.
I don't know. What do I say after that? I'm out of millennialism.
Shit. You can't just receive. You also have to gift me peace and happiness.
And light.
Good.
Definitely like light.
Lauren would approve.
Yes.
Just not thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
I don't want your fucking
that's
prayers.
Old school. That's baby boomer stuff. All right, you guys. Till then, please make it a better tomorrow.
Between you and me can't be undone. Love, don't be afraid.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one!